This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. Most of the nation's midsection is dealing with a major storm. One part of this system extends all the way down to the Texas Panhandle, northeast through Colorado, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and on into Ontario, Canada. A good portion of Iowa and southern Minnesota seeing rain at this hour. There's also snow in parts of the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota. According to NDON, Bowman, North Dakota, with 8 inches of snow, Williston, 6 inches, Jamestown, 5. The North Dakota Department of Transportation is advising no travel from Jamestown to Dawson in a similar scenario being seen in an area south of Bismarck. The Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport has 8 inches of snow. Meanwhile, most of the northeastern North Dakota area escaping the snowfall so far. Winds will be picking up today across the northern plains and upper Midwest. Travel issues can be expected.
In a race against time, President Joe Biden signed a $1.2 trillion spending package Saturday morning, avoiding a government shutdown. The Senate missed its midnight deadline, but completed its work early Saturday morning on a vote of 74 to 24. The bill passed out of the House on Friday, with most Democrats supporting the legislation and more than half of the Republicans opposing it. Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion to remove House Speaker Mike Johnson, but has not asked for an immediate vote. Under the current rules, a single member can file a motion to vacate the speakership. That's how former Speaker Kevin McCarthy was removed from office last fall.
Russia launched a massive bombing on Ukraine's energy infrastructure over the weekend, leaving hundreds of thousands of people without power. That followed Ukraine's attack on Russian oil refineries earlier this month. Meanwhile, the United Nations National Security Council will meet today, seeking an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. All this political tension around the world pushing crude oil prices higher to start this week.
Pro Farmer is the last analyst to release its estimate for Thursday's prospective plantings report. Pro Farmer forecasting corn acreage at 91.7 million acres, soybeans at 86.7. The corn number is down 3% from last year, and soybeans are 4% higher than a year ago. Spring wheat and durum acreage is projected to total 12.6 million acres, down 1.6% from last year.
Grain markets have been rather stagnant over the past week, with little news to push them in either direction. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
With little recent news to prompt any grains market activity, Oklahoma State University Extension grain market economist Kim Anderson says that all eyes will be on the USDA's prospective planning report that will be released this Thursday.
There's just not anything going on right now. We've got the winter wheat crop. It's all planted. It's in relatively good condition, both in the United States and around the world. We've got the corn, soybeans, summer crop plantings coming up. But again, moisture's relatively good around. I think the market feels like they've got a good handle on things in the U.S. and the world, and there's just not much happening. Well, the report that the entire market's waiting on is the prospective plantings report that'll be released next Thursday on March the 28th. It'll have the estimates for all the summer crops, including spring wheat, and it'll have pretty much the final planting estimates for your hard red winter and soft red winter wheat. So that's a big report. And then you've got the quarterly stocks report that the market always watches, because that tells us how much product we got in the bin or in storage.
Anderson says with everything from 2023 being sold already, harvest prices will be the item to watch.
Well, right now I'm watching harvest prices. Pretty much all our wheat from 23, corn, beans, everything's pretty much been sold. So I'm watching harvest prices. You look at wheat right now, you know, we talk about it moving sideways. It's been moving from about $5 to $5.50, 5.25 right now, right in the middle. But you look at the stocks to use averages, world and U.S., both right at average. So you'd think our prices would be around $5.80 for harvest delivery.
That was Oklahoma State University Extension grain market economist Kim Anderson For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Leading Russian grain trader is reporting certain shipments of Russian wheat are being blocked. Inspectors reportedly found the cargoes did not meet quality standards. This grain trader said numerous shipments have been blocked because the required documents were missing. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. Commodities President Don Rose says the corn market was slightly higher on the week, while soybeans finished slightly lower as traders started to position for Thursday's USDA report.
So we've got a big report, market-moving report coming, staring right at us, along with a three-day weekend. And, you know, the one thing about these markets, they have been trying to stabilize in the face of some negative news, improved weather in Brazil in some of those dry areas of the corn crop. Here, U.S. weather looks like getting a little more moisture than we've had here for a long time and kind of chewed through that. So it feels like we've fully going into the growing season, digested a lot of this negative news and see if there's anything positive pops up on the catalyst here on the radar.
Rose's planting intentions will get the most attention.
Probably the important one is the stocks give us a market-moving direction. The acres, we know they're going to switch back and forth. So I think we'll stare at those numbers, then look at the weather. Then we'll look at the stocks numbers to see if there's anything that can help us there. And I think we're going to watch the funds, too. It's going to be not only the acres and the stocks the end of the month here, but it's the end of the month, end of the quarter, and do the funds really want to sit here big shorts in a market going into a big report going into spring planting.
Traders continuing to watch export demand on corn and soybeans. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says corn demand remains good.
Yes, I would say good for, you know, for corn. Then a private sale split between old and new crop. It was, you know, a nice sale to have. You know, certainly last week's corn sale to an unknown destination caught a lot of trade attention, even though it was a smaller quantity. That unknown category a lot of times ends up being China, and the fact that maybe China was in for our corn.
And Hoops is expecting export sales to slow seasonally.
We saw kind of a decent sale, but just routine to Mexico. Weekly sales, fairly good for both corn and soybeans for this time of year. Effectively, they will start to slow, most likely, as we continue to get some crop harvested in South America and they continue to fill different needs across the world. But, you know, the fact that the dollar has been strong yesterday and today isn't helping us out either.
In Friday's USDA report, cattle placements were up a surprising 10%. USDA livestock economist Mike McConnell says there is some logic to those numbers.
In January, we actually had a relatively low placement number. That was due to the winter storms that we had across the Midwest that came in early January, which delayed some of those placements. So some of the increase that we saw in placements during February was the fact that we were making up for some of the weather incidents that occurred during January.
The total cattle inventory was up 1% from a year ago. Marketings rose 3%. In this region, the cattle inventory on March 1st was 11% higher in Minnesota, up 14% in South Dakota. Placements were unchanged in Minnesota, but up 14% in South Dakota.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Senate Majority Leader Aaron Murphy, and House Speaker Melissa Hortman have announced a budget framework agreement. The budget is for $447 million for the 24-25 biennium. That includes $4.5 million allocated for agriculture. These targets will help lawmakers make the priorities fit the budget.
Following its review process, USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service has determined 6 biotech crops can be safely grown and bred in the U.S. That list includes a Bayer Crop Science canola variety bred for herbicide resistance, a new seed canola variety for improved product quality and herbicide resistance, and a Michigan State University potato modified for resistance to potato late blight.
This is a short market week with major USDA crops report coming out on Thursday. It's also end of the quarter and end of the month. Advanced Trading Risk Management Advisor Tommy Grisafi encouraging farmers to be alert for a turn to the downside.
What if the USDA comes out and tells us the American farmer is awesome and they're going to plant a ton of corn, a ton of beans, and maybe a little less wheat? Maybe they plant a little more cotton, a little more rice, but I mean, I think the risk is to the downside. We've had this rally recently. What can we do to get the American farmer not to be awesome is the question I keep posing.
American Crystal Sugar Company beet stock reached new highs this past week. According to Acres and Shares broker Jason Menke, sales were brokered at $6,000 per share, also another at $5,975. Menke says there's very limited number of shares on the market. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says traders are going to be focusing on acreage in Thursday's USDA report.
Right now, I think I would be looking at the acres as being more important because that, I think, is going to set the tone for what any kind of a weather rally or any kind of weather impact has on the market. You know, and I do expect that we're going to see less corn plant acres than what the trade is anticipating at this point. And I think we could see more soybeans. But I also look for a lot of the really specialty crops, the dry edible beans, the field peas, you know, some of the canolas. I think those are going to see quite an increase in acreage as well.
Martinson says weather will obviously play a role in determining the final acreage mix.
Well, and that's the other good point right now with the weather forecast that's coming into play for the last week of March. You know, it does right now look like we are going to transition from what we were expecting to be an early spring to an average, maybe a little, you know, again, a little late spring, because if the snow comes in that they're talking about, nobody will likely be in the field until the middle of April.
Women from throughout Minnesota's agricultural community will be in St. Paul today for the Minnesota State Capitol for Women in Ag Day. There will be a special Senate Ag Committee hearing at 3 o'clock this afternoon featuring issues related to women in agriculture. And speaking of women in agriculture, we're celebrating women in agriculture throughout this month, a special series called Agriculture. You can go to Red River Farm Network's website, our YouTube channel, also X and Facebook as well, and find some tremendous interviews that we've got on throughout this month featuring some of the great female ag leaders from throughout the region. Checking markets, Minneapolis wheat, as we speak, a 2-cent gain for May, 663 the quote. The Chicago wheat, 5 1/4 higher for May. Hard red winter wheat, 2 1/4 higher. Corn's just down a fraction. The May contract down a half penny, 438 3/4. New crop down 1/4 cent. May soybeans, $11.95 and a half. That's 3 cents higher. New crop soybeans, 1 3/4 cents higher. On the farm calendar, this year's the 30th annual Aldrich C. Bloomquist Lectureship on cooperatives in agriculture. This session will be held tomorrow. Their speaker is Marshall Albright, the former president and CEO of Cass County Electric Cooperative. That event begins at 11:30 at the NDSU Memorial Union in Fargo. The NDSU Soybean Symposium will be held Wednesday. It's an all-day program focusing in on innovation and research. That will be held in Fargo. And North Dakota State University has a couple different programs this week, discussions on grazing technologies. There will be a session on Thursday afternoon, 1 p.m. at the Valley City Eagles Club, and then actually next week, Tuesday, at the Monocan Farm. And the Irrigators Clinic coming out of Minnesota, that'll be held this upcoming Thursday. Anyone interested in irrigation or issues related to soil health, crop water application, all taking place at Alexandria. Have yourself a great day, a great week. This is the Red River Farm Network.